Okay. The past, the present, and the future walked into a bar. It was tense. Alleluia, alleluia. It is Eastertide, and there is an old tradition of starting the homily with a joke during the great 50 days of Easter. Easter, you see, is the time when God got the last laugh on darkness, fear, ignorance, and even death. It's evident that the disciples aren't in on this joke, at least not to begin with. They're huddled together behind locked doors, trying to make sense of what they have been through those awful days after that wonderful supper that they had with Jesus just a few nights before. Mary Magdalene had told them of the empty tomb and then of her encounter with the risen Lord in the garden. Peter and the beloved disciple had run to the tomb to see for themselves and found nothing there but the linen strips that had wrapped the dead body of their dear friend. The evangelist, John, tells us that these three believed. But there's still some questions about what's going on here. Then, the Son of God, who was and is and ever shall be, the Son of God who is the past, the present, and the future, walks into the room where the disciples are gathered, and it is tense. They're afraid. What's going on? You know, in one case, he walks through the door. Peace be with you, he says. And this is more than just a conventional greeting, peace. He says it twice, and then breathes into them the very spirit of peace and healing. But there is one disciple who missed this gift of the Holy Spirit and the peace she brings. Where was Thomas? Was he the only one who could get it together enough to go out and get the food and drink that they needed? The rest of them are huddled in fear, so he missed it. Thomas, who has been called a doubter for most of the life of the church because he required empirical proof that Jesus had been resurrected. How many of you scientists out here would require the same? I want to touch it. I want to quantify it. Thomas, when he sees the hands, the feet, the side, makes the great claim about Jesus, my Lord and my God. Thomas launches for us the great message of Eastertide. Christ is risen, and that makes a difference for us. Just as Jesus was pierced in his hands, his feet, his side, just as Jesus suffered terrible torture and knew the pain of abandonment, he also suffers with us in our wounding. Just as he was raised and transformed by his obedience to God's law of love, so are we also when we walk in love. However, just as he bore the evidence of his passage through this mortal life and the damage that human beings can inflict on each other, so do we also. Resurrection doesn't erase our wounds. It doesn't even always take away the pain. Resurrection healing does something far more important. It brings us into the room. It brings us into the room where Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you. Where we can know the joy of being in relationship with him. Resurrection healing happens when we allow God to take the places where we've been pierced and use them as witnesses to the love that God has for us. We can even hear that in the letter from Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. What is a living hope? A living hope survives the suffering of life. A living hope endures the trials that come into all of our lives. It is the starting point of the faith that we have in this Jesus whom God has raised from the dead. This faith, which again Peter talks about in his letter, this faith is lived. It is the lived experience of trusting in God's love and presence. It's more than just saying, yes, Lord, I believe. It is a choice. The faith is personal. It is the chosen experience of relying on the grace of God. And Peter says we are right now receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Now, salvation is not simply a ticket that gets us into heaven someday. Salvation is healing that brings wholeness here and now. And the purpose of that healing is to bring the kingdom of heaven into our lives here and now. Again, Peter says, we are receiving that outcome right now, that salvation, right now. So, what are the places where you've been pierced? What are the places where you've been pierced, maybe by cruelty or neglect? Some of us have suffered emotional or physical abuse at home or at school, or even, I'm sorry to say, at church. Do you have a disease of the soul that holds you captive? Some of us daily struggle against addiction or depression or shame or fear. What loss has cracked your life? Some of us live with great pain and sorrow over the death of a loved one or the rupture of a relationship. Abiding in the love of Jesus as he abides in the love of God who raised him from the dead will not make the abuse go away, will not make the scars go away. It will not make the struggle go away. But the love of God in Jesus gives us new life. It gives us that living hope, which gives us the power to rise up and leave the tomb and step out into the bright sunlight of Easter, even on a day when it's cloudy and gray and raining. That love makes it possible to live so that the genuineness of our faith may be found in the result that we sing praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And guess where Jesus gets revealed? In us. The lectionary readings of Eastertide exhort us to share our own resurrection healing with the world. We are God's witness to the healing that Jesus manifested for us in his obedience to God's law of nonviolent, self-giving love. And we witness to the resurrection of our Lord by sharing the evidence of our own healing. And yeah, that means we have to be vulnerable enough to share the wounding It's tough. Now, I'm not saying that we display our scars in some macabre parade of pain. That would not be what we want to do. But we do need to be willing and able to share our personal stories of how God's love has healed broken places in us. The pain is real. The scars are real. But so is God's love for us. So is God's faithfulness to us. And so is God's power to heal and transform us. This love, this faithfulness, this power is the reality of being in relationship with God. And this is a gift that Christians have to offer the world. And it is a gift that we must share. Part of our job as a church, a Christian community, is to help each other learn how to share that precious gift. And that's why we're focused on discipleship here at Holy Trinity. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for those of us who have not seen yet still believe to receive the gift of resurrection healing. But here's the thing. We don't get to keep the gift for ourselves. We have to pass it on. We have to share it with the world. That's the mission of the church in the world. Sharing God's gifts with the world is what discipleship is all about. And Holy Trinity is a community that's dedicated to doing just that. We say this in all of our literature, on our website, on our bulletins, on all our brochures. We say we are a people who are passionate about our mission to love with the heart of Christ, to think with the mind of Christ, and to serve in the world, act in the world as the body of Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe. This Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses to that. Rejoice, therefore, and be glad. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord, Lord is risen.